Hey there, welcome to League Life with Brooksy and Shanaz. I'm Shanaz. I'm here with my friend Brooksy. He's gloating. He's glowing. He's waited a long time for this podcast. I've tried to avoid it at every stop that I could. I've been busy with my kid, busy working, busy with Sharkcast, busy recording an album. Nothing is good enough for Brooks for me to get out of this doing this podcast. I'm going to be a man, and I'm going to right here. Just give it to me, Brooksy. Go.
Mate, you said 9 o'clock. I've been waiting since 9 a.m. I thought you meant 9 a.m. And I've been listening to some tunes, getting ready for it.
Now look at you.
12-hour wait.
I can see you over the FaceTime.
Look at you, Shanaz.
You are glowing. I am a desperate drunk man is what I am. I'm gone. I'm done. I'm out.
No amount of cucumber eye patches or lavender moisturizer could make me glow like this, Shanaz. It's been obviously an interesting week for some. It's great to see some teams get on the board with a win and some tries, if anything. But Shanaz, I thought I'd start the show with a joke.
Really?
I don't think we've done any jokes in the show before, but
okay.
I thought I'd start off with a joke. Okay, so bear with me.
You got
knock, knock.
Who might be there?
Owen.
Owen whom?
When the Saints go marching in. When the Saints go marching in.
You really have been waiting since 9 a.m. to do that, haven't you?
Yes. Well, Shanaz, you predicted it last time.
I did.
We got on the microphones.
I did.
An impressive win from the Dragons, although it seemed a bit shaky at times, but I want to go to your thoughts first, mate.
Sure.
Obviously,
sure.
It is always tough losing a derby. It's easy to talk about a win, but I wanted to hear your thoughts of it. We haven't spoken about it. What do you think of the loss?
From a Sharks point of view, it's just nowhere near good enough, and it was perfectly displayed in that performance against the Dragons. It's a cliche, but you got to live for those games, and they didn't. They had everything to play for. They're now 1-4. They're now got speculation about their coach and overpaid players.
Yeah.
And it's a bit of a madhouse down there at the moment. So big week coming up for them. But Dragons played smart footy. They played tough footy. I thought they just out-enthused us. I wasn't blown away by the Dragons' performance. I just thought that you turned up to play. You completed really well. You did the simple stuff. You kicked to the corners. You chased well. And that's all you need to do a lot of the time in this league. And I think some teams like mine don't really get it.
Yeah, it happened against us a couple of times against the Bulldogs and the Warriors where they just really completed their sets, good kicking game, good chasing, just going back to basics. And I think the Dragons did that after a pretty terrible week. We saw some great performances from some much maligned players. Matt Dufty was involved in a lot of the Dragons' attack. It was great to see him pretty much solidify the number one position. And also Ben Hunt off the bench.
Yep.
I think that Hunt-McInnes combination could be good going forward, Shanaz. Like you got 130 metres out of McInnes. I think he still made 40-odd tackles. Ben Hunt was, in the middle of the park, just being able to see what's in front of him and go with that rather than the structured play that we've seen from the Dragons in the first 4 weeks. But I think we've seen the worst of the Dragons. I think they've sort of found a combination. And, hey, they might win more than they lose, but I think we've definitely seen the worst of them from what I saw on Sunday.
Well, I hope for your case that's true. I don't know that you've turned a corner just given the team that you played, but you can only play who you're given. So there's no complaints from my end. Like you won fair and square. You played good, tough footy. And you're right. If you keep doing that with that lineup, you'll win some more games than lose your hope. I think the only thing with Ben Hunt is everyone talks about the money he's on, which is absolutely a subject, but he's a good little player. And he's the sort of player that doesn't really deal too well with pressure. When you let him just do his own thing, he's pretty handy. And he showed that on the weekend. He showed a bit of passion. And, I think the lineup was pretty good. Like Zach Lomax looked decent to me. I've never really watched him overly closely, but he looked pretty good. And Yeah, I mean, it was the performance you had to have. So, you know, I it was tough to watch, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I think with looking at your team, Schnaz, the Sharkies, like, you can see there's still a lot of growth to be made, and there's still, like, their Fifita was coming back from an injury. It seems like his knee's given him issues. I think it kept him out of the Indigenous All-Stars game, and now he's missed a couple of games off the back of a long break.
Yeah.
Mate, you've had Moylan in and out of the side. You've had a bit of... I guess the halves combination's been mixed up over the last few weeks due to injury. It just would be good, I guess, from your perspective, to probably see your top 17 on the park. We saw John Morris after the game talking about your salary cap situation leading into the season, where you
yep.
had to lose Matt Pryor, lose Josh Morris, or let Josh Morris go. You had Bronson Sherry. It hasn't been the best of starts. So
yeah,
1-4 is probably reflective of what's been going on at the club, right?
Yeah, it is. But they were in the first three games they played, particularly against Melbourne and South. They should have won those games. They're not as bad as a team as what they've shown in the last week. And when you're under pressure from the press and the fans and the members, you just have to get it right. And they got it horribly wrong. So there are reasons why they're under pressure at the moment. The thing, Brooksy, with the top 17 is no one can tell you what their best 17 is, because no one really knows what to do with the halves, because you got Moylan, you got Johnson, you got Chad. Moylan's not a great fullback, so a lot of us don't want him to play there. So then who do you play at fullback? Well, you got Josh Dugan. Well, he's probably a better center than he is fullback. He could do fullback, but he's very, you know, he's got a worn body that's not young anymore. It's not ideal. Will Kennedy doesn't really cut the mustard at the moment. And big Andy Fifita's not traveling too well. So there are a lot of things going on with that top 17. And it's a bit of a jigsaw puzzle, as I often refer to it, for Morris. And I thought when he came under pressure after the Cowboys win, so they won it up there against the Cowboys, that's when the pressure started. I thought that was a bit weird. And that's where he was a bit surprised by everything as well. And he sort of came out firing in the press conference after the Dragons loss and was ready to go. And he listed a number of things. But end of the day, they're not getting the best performances out of those players on the field. So they need to get a move on if they want to be relevant in 2020, that's for sure.
It was a bizarre week, wasn't it? I remember watching the Matty Johns podcast, and Matty was talking about his relationship with Eddie Jones and talking about how he loves league. And then Saturday night, there's rumours that Eddie Jones and Cronulla, there's some sort of interest there. And then you hear tonight on 360, Kenty sort of talking about a potential Paul Green coaching job, like coming down for the coaching job at Cronulla. But it's crazy. Like, I think it would be delusional for Cronulla to sort of say that their situations need a new coach after what's gone on with the player personnel over the last 12 months. What do you think, Schnaz? Like, as a Sharkies fan and
I do,
somewhat on the peripheral of the bubble.
I'm on the edge of the bubble. I do feel for Morris in that, you know, you could write a soap opera. It is a soap opera about what's happened since he came in. And I'm not going to go through the whole list because we'll be here all night. But so that's a bunch of reasons, not excuses, but reasons why things are how they are.
Yeah.
The flip side is his team is 1-4. So members, fans, sponsors, board members, which is, you know, hint, hint, they want results.
Yep.
And if they're not going to get them, they might start looking elsewhere. And, you know, it's been referred to in the last few weeks about Shane Flanagan coming home, which is a very strong rumor. The Eddie Jones one came out of left field. I did not hear anything about that before it broke. The Paul Green one I've heard before. He's one of our favorite sons.
Yep.
I think played 4 or 5 seasons with us in the John Lang era. Was a tremendous player. And I wouldn't rule that one out either. Eddie Jones, I don't know much about that story, except I do believe he's a very, very big rugby league fanatic. So,
yeah, It would be interesting. And there was another, I was catching a bit of the content tonight on Fox. They had Matt Cooper on NRL Tonight with Matty Russell and Megan Barner.
How's he looking?
And Cooper's, he's all right. He's got a trip planned up the Queensland coach, which he kept mentioning
That's weird.
During the cross. But, yeah, I'm pretty sure they got him on for Dragons talk rather than a getaway segment. But he stated that it's pretty much, he believes, a sure thing that Flano's taking over Mary in 2022. So
right. Now,
and it makes sense, doesn't it?
When does Mary's contract end?
End of 21. So gotcha. He re-signed for 2 years, 2020, 21. So yeah. With Shepherd there and with Flano there.
Yeah.
And with Mary not, like, probably being Mary not being sacked after the emergency board meeting, and I guess you can put two and two together and see that once Flano's suspension's done, he's going to be leading the Red V.
Look, I would have thought that was a given, but I can tell you that I've heard a lot of strong rumours that he wants to come back to Cronulla. And, you know, John Morris's contract ends at the end of 2021 as well. So I'll leave that one with you. And
there we go.
I will also tell you that if father comes home, I'm led to believe son will come home too at some point.
Interesting. Well, that's a good segue, Shanaz. So let's go to Kyle Flanagan and his Sydney Roosters.
Woo!
Mate, weren't they impressive last night?
Yeah.
And Flano's settling in though, Shanaz. I think you might find it hard to pry him from Uncle Nick's grip.
The only reason he'd come home is if Papa comes home. I've got to stress that.
Yeah. Well, of course. But I think you look at the Roosters' performance last night, why would you want to leave?
I agree completely.
They're looking so good. They've looked great the last two games, albeit it's been against the Broncos and the Dogs. But and James Tedesco's performance, Shaz, it was like laughable at some stages off the scrums, like the way they were getting through. BMOS down the right, like they're just looking so fluid. They're great to watch. We talked about Radley last week. Oh. Crichton's back to his best. He's got a double-double over the past 2 weeks. He's back to that 2017 Crichton that we came to love. But impressive performance. Was that one of the best performances you've seen this season?
Yeah, and the thing I loved about it and that I'm extremely jealous about is the fact that they went for 80 minutes. Like, if you watch as closely as what you and I do to the games because of our work, they're competing on every play until the bell goes. Jake Friend, who's one of the older players, he's still hustling in the 78th, 79th minute for a try, which they got. I'm going to give a tip to all of our punters out there. And if you're not a punter, just stay away because I don't want to be responsible for losing money. But I've got to tell you, young Kyle, anytime try scorer is going to make you some money every now and then. So get on that one. But brilliant team to watch. It's my belief they're going to do the three-peat, and I've thought that since last year, and when they signed Kyle, I didn't shake that. I think that Kyle's quite obviously going to fit in really well. I found it really funny to see everyone on Twitter blowing up at the Cronulla fans, the Cronulla fans blowing up saying, how did we let him go? It's like, well, we did. Like, get over it. It's not a subject. I don't want to hear about it. It happened. And, he was always going
to too busy giving Bronson peptides.
Hey, whoa. First of all, Bronson did not take peptides.
I'm joking. It's Derby week. I'm just
Derby week's over. That's a very serious subject. Bronson's not doing too well, man. Not too well.
I know. Cut that out. No, leave it.
I'm whatever. Not cutting anything out. The Roosters are going really well, man, and I'd be really surprised.
Yeah.
Even without Tedesco, they put 59 on Brisbane. So they're doing nice things
they are doing nice things.
Tedesco is the best in the world. There's no doubt about that.
And you know how you actually know that they're doing nice things? When you're watching the Fox League coverage, you can hear the rooster going, "Cock-a-doodle-doo," every time they score a try. It's amazing.
So I'm not a huge fan of a lot of the sound effects, and I'll say that as someone who works for the company and someone who's friends with the guy who helps the guy do the audio. But I got to say, every time I hear that rooster crow, I get pretty happy. I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah, there's some. It was great hearing the Dragons one for the first time in since March on the weekend. But I didn't mind the Sharkies, the Jaws, the.
Yeah.
What's your favourite one? The rooster.
The rooster. The Sharks one. The rooster, definitely. I love it. Just something about a rooster crowing is very funny.
Yeah, I just wish the Bulldogs one was "Who let the dogs out?" That's just something.
Now, what did you? What did you make of the other premiership favourites, the Parramatta Eels?
Today, Junior. I don't know if that was the lag or just you, Saz. But what was your question?
I don't know what's so funny about that. I said, what did you make of the other premiership favourite?
No, you cut out over the stream, and it sort of just went. Dude, what did you?
The old remix.
My Belong reception. I think I got to pay my Belong bill.
Well, you're coming along pretty good, so I apologize about that. But yeah, we had the Panthers and the Eels, and that was a pretty good game.
The Wonga Blake revenge game, Schnaz.
Yeah,
I love them. I love when a former player, and you had Regan Campbell-Gillard there.
He was good.
Former players going up against the team that they made a name for themselves. And I believe the Panthers did let Blake go because of the man that was marking him, Stephen Crichton. So it was a bit of a showing to the Panthers that, hey, you let me go. And it was that 10-minute period, wasn't it, Chaz, where they went back-to-back-to-back.
They look like they had the game won, even though it was, 10-0. It looked like enough. They were defending really well.
Yeah. And I believe the Panthers were trolling Nathan Cleary on his conversions with the music that was in the TikTok video. Don't quote me on it, but I'm not a TikTok fan, nor do I know what the kids are listening to these days. But I believe it was the same song. So if anyone knows, let us know.
I
think the Sharkies are playing Cronulla soon, right?
If you think back to that infamous TikTok video, and how stupid Cleary, I'm going to get the right Cleary this time, Nathan Cleary looks. Like, he's going to have to live with that.
He looks like Ivan.
That's right. He's going to have to live with that forever. And, apparently the five fans that were let in on the weekend were razzing him during the kicks.
Mate, if you go back on my MySpace page, you'll see a similar sort of video of me circa 2004 trying to rap to a Jurassic 5 song. So, hey, we've all got our demons in the closet, Schnaz. So, please don't go back. It was a good game. I think it was 5-0 now for the Eels. Sets up a salivating battle this week against the Roosters too, Schnaz. You got a few ex-Roosters in that Eels team. Blake Ferguson, who's played well, and Ryan Madison.
Come good.
I think Brad Fittler would have been watching Ryan Madison's performances over the past 3 weeks. He's been outstanding, as a lot of the commentators would say. And so too is Nathan Brown.
Forwards
that are on the New South Wales radar.
I love Nathan Brown so much. I love watching him play.
So of the two Nathan Browns, they could nearly start a Nathan Brown Hall of Fame in sport, and particularly NRL.
Yeah.
Has he overtaken Nathan Brown of Dragons fame yet?
I feel like he has more talent, but I feel like your Nathan Brown is a bit more infamous.
Yeah. He hasn't slapped Trent Barrett yet, so get there? He could have after the game.
What a great moment in time that was. One of the best.
But yeah, it was a good game. Unfortunately for the Panthers, they're losing your ex-boy, Kurt Capewell, for 10 weeks.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
MCL injury. Panthers going through a few injuries and suspensions themselves to start the year. Where have you got? Are they pretty much sitting like true to their form at the moment, Schnaz? Like,
yeah, I think so. I think they're just a bit below the top four teams, so to speak.
Yeah.
But they're definitely finals bound, and there's a lot to like about them. I like the fact that they're so young, but they're living up to the potential, and their forwards look like they're doing something this year, and
yeah.
I just think there's something about them this year that was missing last year. I don't know what it is, but they've fixed it up, and maybe it's the new Volandis, you know, style of football that's suiting them. I'm not sure, but they're heading to the finals, I would think. Yeah.
Well, a team that's been pretty much finals football bound since Chris Anderson left has been the Storm, Schnaz.
Yeah,
they knocked over the Knights up at the Seti Coast with a pretty solid start to that game. They just ran the Knights off the park from the get-go, and I think it was all due to the fact there are, you know, I can't believe he's 36.
Really,
Cameron Smith. I've got 2 years on him. It's just surprising. If you put a split screen of us, you would think he's clearly the older one.
You would.
Mate, he is in scintillating form. Another outstanding performer of the league.
Yeah, I was.
What did you make of it?
I was looking forward to that game a lot. I worked on it pretty closely, and I thought both teams came out of it pretty good. Newcastle had a good second half, and they showed that they won't back down, and they just came up against a better team. I thought the Storm started so well. Cameron Smith, Munster looked good. They're a very, very, very well-rounded team, like most Melbourne teams are year by year, and they will also go very close to, if they're not going to be in the grand final against the Roosters, they'll be thereabouts. And I actually enjoy watching them play. I think that they're a bit underrated for their attack. Their attack is really good to watch, and you know, our old friend Craig Bellamy up there in the sheds never lets us down. But I think that the Knights' second half showed me a lot. It showed me that they're not going to give up on the fight. And they lost the game, but, you know, it's a simple game. Someone's going to win, someone's going to lose. They lost, but they'll be back. And I like the way the Knights are headed. I do.
They were resilient in the second half, Schnaz. And I like, that's probably previous Knights teams go down, go down pretty heavily in that sort of a game. But they stuck strong. I thought their younger guys that have come through over the past few years, Daniel Safidi was really good. I thought he led from the front well for them. We also, that Ponga is still dangerous with his running game. Bradman Best looks great.
He does, yeah.
He's like another try this week too, Schnaz. So I think that's five since the return for him. He's killing it. They're getting players back over the next few weeks. I think Adam O'Brien's got to be happy. Like, he, even though it's a loss, he still gets some signs there. I think that's the thing. If you're going to play finals footy and you're going to get 18 points put on you pretty quickly, they were in with a chance there. I think it was 18-12 at one stage, and they got a dicey penalty against David Clemmer running into his ex-teammate Dale Finucane, which got the lead out to 8. And it could have been – that could have come back and been, you know – the Knights ball off that. But yeah, I think there's signs there that the Knights are growing and developing, and you know, we saw today another boost for the team with Kalyn Ponga re-signing, extending his contract. So you know, they've got this team, they've got Frizz coming next year, they've got the young guys locked in, you've got Brayley, Best, Daniel Safidi locked in up until 2022. I think you got Frizz, Clemmer, Barnett to 23. Ponga now 24. They're seeing their window being open over the next 3 to 4 years. So
yeah, for sure.
It was a massive contract. What do you think of the deal? 4 years, $4.5 million for Ponga.
Yeah, if he stays injury free, I got no issue with it. He's a match winner, and he's only going to get better. I'm not one of those people that, you know, gets annoyed at the constant commentary that, you know, they talk about Ponga all the time on, for example, on our network. And I don't get annoyed by that, but I also sort of don't think he's at that level yet, but he's definitely going to be there, and he's great to watch. Some of those cutout passes the last 2 weeks have just been mind-blowing, and
yeah,
I think you had to make the move. You had to lock him up, otherwise someone else would, and I think you're 100% right about that window opening, man. I think that Clemmer and Frizzell really excites me a lot. I think Clemmer's lifted so much since he's gone there away from the Dogs, and with a new young coach who looks pretty good so far, I'd be pretty excited if I was a Knights fan.
Yeah, I think their problem in the past under Brownie, and not necessarily his issue, but his problem, but the defense has been pretty leaky up there. We've seen, you know, well, didn't you, your boys put 62 on him one day and Val scored like 1,000 tries?
Yeah.
And you just can't see that happening with this team. Like, there's no way that teams are going to be able to put that sort of those sort of scores on them.
I wouldn't have thought so.
And so, yeah, I personally think it's a great deal. He's someone on and off the field that performs. He's marketable. He never says no to interviews.
Yeah.
He's just, I don't know, he's just a solid human. to put it simply.
Yeah.
But that Knights Storm wasn't the only game up in the Sunny Coast last week. We saw a fun one, Cows and the Warriors.
Woo, a lot of points.
And speaking of Val, the Cows, another loss, another injury. Did his ankle during the first half. You can see him hobbling around. You just thought there's no way he was continuing the way he was hobbling on it. But
what's the prognosis there?
Negative. Well done. I think it's one to 2 weeks.
Okay.
The Seinfeld fans.
Okay, that's not too bad.
But yeah, you've got Morgan out at the moment, Schnaz. You know, your boys did a number on him up in Townsville. Come down, the Warriors. Warriors put some points on him too.
I can't judge them, Brooksy, until I see Morgan and Valentine together. In all honesty, like, I just think that. Two really gifted players. They're brothers-in-law. They've got that connection. They've been waiting a long time for this moment. And I really think that when they're both fit and firing, they'll be a top eight team. So I'm not going to judge them until I see them together, in all honesty.
So you don't think they're in trouble? You think they can...
Oh, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I can't really get too upset about them if those two guys aren't in the team. It's like, well... It's hard to judge them on that, you know?
Yeah. I just thought it was a bit, like, it's interesting to see a team like the Warriors who've been held scoreless twice this year, for them to put a crazy, like, what? 37 points? 37 points on the Cows? Wait. Looking at the numbers too, look, I'm not the stats guy here. I was a stats guy, but
that's another story.
Taumalolo made 50 tackles in that game, Schnaz. They only got 120 odd meters out of him.
That's genius.
Like, I don't know if it's Kearney's tactic, but like, you take that running game out, you make him tackle. Like, I don't know, it seemed like a good ploy.
That's phenomenal. Yeah.
The Cows got to do something with that right side defense. It just seems like you saw Ramian and Mulitano rip him a new one, for lack of better words, last week. And again, the Warriors getting some success down there. Petr Hiku got a hat trick as well.
What about that?
God, it's crazy. What do you think of the Cows' debutant, Hamiso Tabulai-Fido?
Yeah, I was pretty excited to see him play after that exciting Nines tournament he had. And he looks like he hasn't, you know, it looks like he's still got that in his game. So, I want to see him play some more, but why not? I think from what I've seen of Paul Green's coaching, he's not afraid to throw in some of these kids, which I don't mind. So, yeah, if he's ready to go, throw him in.
Yeah, he looks pretty raw, but good raw. He's quick. He's got not a bad pass on him. He's no Matt Dufty, but I'm sure he hasn't played his last.
Matt Dufty.
He's so hot right now. You look good.
You're only as good as your last game, Brooksy.
Well, I guess you know the Storm and the Cowboys flying around. A lot. Mm-hmm. It makes sense, doesn't it, Schnaz, that Peter Volandis is looking at potentially purchasing a private jet for teams to use?
What about that? Wow. I mean, we talked about the Eddie Jones.
Unky Pete.
We talked about the Eddie Jones story. This one came out of left field, left tarmac somewhere.
The left hanger.
What a genius move. I mean, he's going to cut costs and imagine all the fun you have up on that party plane, man.
I believe they're renaming the new airport the Badgerys Creek in honour of what he's done. Dan Talentire from the Tigers was saying they're going to land it on the landing strip. That was a good one. I like the Lufthansa as a potential name of the airline. But mate, it is crazy. I love it. I love his.
Tell me.
He's got a bit of Hank Scorpio about him, doesn't he?
He gives.
What did I think of that?
He gives zero. Yeah. You know what, man? He's a man of his own being.
Yeah.
Tell me how it's going to work, Brooksy, because I haven't read up on it. As crazy as that is to say, but. Is there going to be one plane and they just do the draw where the plane can be in use like for every opportunity needed, or will some teams still need to fly commercial? Like, how's it going to work?
I think it's just it's basically he's just looking at a long-term gain of purchasing a plane. Like, can teams utilize it? So if the team's got a game interstate, for instance, they'll work the draw out so that plane can be available for certain teams to fly in and out of cities instead of flying commercial. But also, like, sponsors can use the plane. the NRL can use it. So it's sort of like an experience in itself. It probably gives, companies.
What about statisticians?
Multi-billionaires. I think statisticians will be still on Jetstar.
Okay.
Or at the hub.
If you need a joke for you guys.
What I love from the Riccio article, I believe, it was the quote from Vellandi saying, we could look at offsetting some of the costs by leasing it to the A-League or Super Rugby teams or companies or other interested parties. Like, how good is that? Like, he's just like, you know,
I don't think they can afford that.
Lufthansa isn't flying in summer. Melbourne City. I heard you're going to Wellington. The next Lufthansa is leaving at 8:37 from Tullamarine Airport.
Well,
just for a sneaky $10,000. It's probably unders, but
it's impressive. It's really impressive in all truths. It's impressive.
But there was an awesome part of the story down the bottom that the Cowboys were looking to buy a plane 10 years ago.
Right.
And there were some quotes from Peter Parr saying it was going to be like a 20-year investment, but we get corporates and sponsors on there, but we couldn't justify it.
Right.
But I was thinking, remember, didn't your boys charter a plane up to Townsville for a finals game?
We sure did.
And I think, it was a...
You had the likes of Brendan Cowell and Buzz Rothfield in seats 1A and 1B and... We lost, what was the score, Brooksy? Was it 40?
Was it 39-0?
39-0, that sounds about right.
Something like that. There's a few number plates up in Townsville with 39-0 after that one. But it was an interesting story. I thought we'd sneak in Wollongong Pete stories week to week. You know, he's one of the greatest people to come out of Wollongong with Michael Bolt and Wayne Gardner.
I did not know where he was from.
He's from the Gong. He's one of us, baby. He's, born and bred. maybe he can bring the Steelers back. I don't know. We'll see. Wouldn't that be one of Vellandi's biggest achievements if he could do that? I'm sure St. George fans would be happy with it.
Well, look, I don't know why we're not talking about it in a serious way. Like, why can't the Steelers come back? There's a lot of coast down there, and you can't tell me that the St. George Club really makes the most of it, can you?
No. We've lost a few juniors, and I think we were talking about that last week. So we've got to stay positive with the Dragons. It's been a good week.
Yeah.
There's only been 90 videos on Instagram about St. George fans wanting to
Hey, Illawarra, shove your socks up your ass.
There is actually a video on that.
Why are they so angry? I don't get it. Why are they so angry? Is it alcohol? Is it alcohol affecting the brain? What is it? I don't get it.
Yeah, but I'm not gonna call out.
Stay positive.
Anyway, let's go to another fan base that has some interesting fans. The Bunnies.
Oh, they do. They really do.
Weren't
we love
wasn't
them?
Wasn't the Burrow, the 50-odd strong Burrow at Bankwest was loving that return to the winner's circle.
Latrell
32-12 against the Titans, who were brought back to reality after their first win in 364 days. Cody Walker back looked good. Latrell benefited from that. Right? Is this the start of a Rabbitohs run? I think they've got a soft draw. I think the Sharkies are in there somewhere.
I think it's a bit too early to say it's a comeback. I want to see a bit more, as you say, against a better opposition. But they looked really good. Latrell had 3 try assists, a career high for him, and he looks like he's, you know, getting back to the form we want him to see him in. And yeah, Cody Walker's an outstanding player. Reynolds just guides him around. It's early days yet, but it was a good sign for sure.
Yeah, I think they look good. If you look at their draw over the next few weeks, Schnaz, I think you might be chalking up more wins than losses, but they're definitely one to watch. I think their forward pack is the key, though. I think they've lost a lot out of their forwards with Sam Burgess's retirement. Damien Cook hasn't really been the Damien Cook that we've seen over the past few seasons. I think he'll benefit from Cody Walker being back. We saw so many tries last year being that Walker-Cook combination. I remember up at the Sunny Coast doing a game, Walker scored 4 tries. Damien Cook was blitzing it out at dummy half. I think once he settles into the new rules, gets everyone back, Latrell's firing, Cody's back, Reynolds, like the focus is off him in the halves. Yeah, I think you'll see them benefit and get some wins in the win column. Titans, not really much to say there other than, you know, a bit of a back to reality sort of situation for them. I think the good thing, like at least Ash Taylor's sort of, you know, back. I think, and I'm not playing his best, but he's back. He's looking like the man he once was. And Jamal Fogarty's sort of a good combination there. I know there's probably only 1 or 2 Titans fans listening to this podcast, but I thought I'd give them a shout out. I like that. Like the halves, if they could, they're not the best halves in the comp. Yeah. They're probably more in the bottom half in terms of combinations, but I think that's something that it can sort of, Jamal Fogarty set up both the tries on the weekend. He's sort of settling into NRL nicely. I think that's something to keep an eye on for Titans fans.
I think if they can shore up that defense, if they work on their defense, then I really think that they can definitely compete with the bottom half of the competition and compete well. But if you keep leaking those points, it's not going to happen.
There's still, like, seriously, it's hard to say, but they're still a season away from being a season away. Like, it's like...
Yeah, yeah.
They've got so many bits and pieces, like...
Yeah.
One of the worst signings, and I'm sort of like, just because he was so good before he went there, I thought he was, like, borderline origin, and he went to the Titans and he sort of just... a shadow. It's Shannon Boyd. And he's been rumoured to go back to Canberra now. They invested a lot of money in Boyd. They've invested a lot of money in Wallace, who's not in the 17. They're losing Jai Arrow to Souths next year.
I got to tell you, Brooks, I think that the NRL coaching staff and especially the salary cap guys need to start listening and watching what happens in the NFL, because there are debates every day about what a position is worth and what a player is worth. So, You look at Dalvin Cook from the Minnesota Vikings, the mighty Minnesota Vikings. One of the best running backs in the game. You'd agree with that. He's young.
Yeah.
He's fresh. He's ready to go. A little bit injury prone. He, at the moment, is in a bit of a contract negotiation with the franchise. And he's asking for a lot of money. And I think they'll pay it. and I think he deserves it. But we all know that you can buy someone who's probably 70% as good as him for one, you know, for $10 million less, to be honest.
Yeah.
And yeah. And my point, sorry, is Shannon Boyd. I went into this great thing about the Minnesota Vikings, man. Shannon Boyd.
It was like watching some Sydney to Hobart there, Shaz. You were tacking east for about 100 km's, and I was waiting for that wind to push you south.
I'm back on track.
You're back, yeah.
Shannon Boyd.
You're making good time.
Was really good with the Raiders, and hard to stop in that, especially in that breakout year.
Yeah.
But he, let alone, I would say 99% of props are not worth the money they paid for him. I'm extremely sorry for anyone that thinks that they are worth that. And when I say worth, I'm talking about in salary cap. I'm not talking about, like, of course, some of them should earn as much money as they can. I'm not trying to deny someone their income. But a guy like Shannon Boyd should not be in your top two or three highest paid players. No way, man.
Yeah.
No way.
Because
that's where they made that mistake.
They went bang, bang. They went Boyd and Wallace. I remember it being relatively close. I was down in Canberra for a game, and it was Raiders-Titans, and we were talking about how the Titans had just signed Boyd, and then Wallace was actually going up to Newcastle, I think, that week to talk to the Knights.
Right.
And then he ended up, because his family settled, he's a runaway Bay junior, or he's up from the northern side of the Goldie. And so he stayed up there, but they forked out $500,000 to $600,000 for pretty much both these guys. And I believe like they got a combined 25 minutes out of them with Boyd off the bench and Wallace not even in the team last week. You just can't, and we've seen it with different teams. You just can't have those. But look, none of them played. Boyd or Wallace didn't play last week.
Right. And when he has, it is an issue. And when he has played, he hasn't been great. Look, they weren't to know that the game was going to change so dramatically because of the COVID break and then Volandi's coming in with all these new rules. They weren't to know that. So that's okay that they have those guys in their team. But at no point, particularly with Shannon Boyd, can you risk, you know, wrapping up so much money of your salary cap into one player like that. I mean, he's a hit-em-up, barge-em guy. He's a big boy, but I can get someone to do that for probably half the price, I would imagine.
I tell you what, the jobs of Justin Holbrook and Mal Meninga, there's no envy. It is a tough job. What they've got on their hands on the Goldie is a long rebuild. And, you know, they're going to be adding players here and there. They've just done that during the week with Corey Thompson's gone up there. They signed him to a 3-year deal, Schnaz. Maybe 1 year. He's a great serviceman to the clubs that he's been at, Canterbury, the Tigers.
Yeah.
But
he falls into the Michael Gordon category where you're really going to like him and he's going to do a lot of good things, but he's not going to win you a title.
I think it's good. He's going to be at fullback this week for the Dragons game,
okay,
which should be interesting. But after saying all this, I can see the Titans thumping us by 20.
Ooh.
But look, I feel for them. There's like I love seeing the Titans win. I love it when they beat the Broncos.
Yeah,
it's great to see that. It doesn't happen too much, but I think it's gonna be a really tough build for Holbrook and Mal to get this squad in the finals footy, Schnaz.
Yeah, they're a bit away from that. Hey, what about, we're not name dropping here, except we are. Yeah. The insight into our lives last Saturday afternoon. You and I, we were sitting, 5 feet away from Mal, maybe 5 meters away from Mal.
Yeah, it was a good panel, wasn't it?
A great panel.
Cooper Cronk. Mal,
And
did you enjoy that little cameo down in the studio?
I loved it. I had a great time.
Yeah.
But how was it watching Mal so close to the Titans game? Like, he would have been a bit squirmish in his
seat. Yeah, there was a few reactions, that's for sure. But particularly in that first half where the bunnies ran riot. But yeah, it's good seeing the guys like sort of, you know, get into it. Like, you know, Mick with the Raiders. Yeah. You know, you see, you know, Coop's obviously with the Roosters. Like, he's still invested in that team. Like, he spent so much time with them over the past couple of seasons with those young guys. You saw, you know, Teddy in the interview talking after the game last night, talking about Coops and how much he's helped his game. And yeah, that was, you know, they're the sort of guys the Titans need to get. You know, those stars that have that have been so, like, so successful that leave a legacy behind with them, leave professionalism behind.
I think that that's
going to take some time.
That's a really good point, Brooksy. I would be investing whatever money I had in getting Holbrook some help, because I'm sure he's the guy for the job for now. You know, he's had a good legacy overseas. He's come here. They've improved a little bit. But imagine if they had an Andrew or a Matt Johns. Imagine if they had a Cooper Cronk. Imagine if they had a Jonathan Thurston. It doesn't have to be like an all-time great, but just you know, Brett Camorley, just someone who has that ability to bring out the best. And it could be a forward. It could be a fullback. Someone who's done it all before them. And just bring in a bit of specialized coaching as opposed to whoever's there now, who, with all due respect, probably are not in that same category. I think they need that. I really do. I think all teams need it. You've seen what happens when Kronk's at the Roosters, or, you know, Matty or Andrew go coach somewhere else. Mitchell Moses is a prime example this year. He's 35,000% better player, and he's under Andrew Johns. So, you said something about Mick Ennis before on the Raiders.
Yeah. The Raiders had a nice little win. Their defense has been really good, Schnaz. It was what was the stat you've got? Surely you've got a stat on the Raiders defense.
Not one I can throw at you right now, but I'm sure there's one there. It was a very physical game, which I know we're going to get into, but it was one of those ones that I had to work on. It was like, it wasn't overly fun to work on just because it was so grueling and grinding and kind of close for most of the game. But it was a very physical game. What did you think of that?
Yeah, it was physical. I think that's what Madge wanted, like, out of his team changes? Like, no Benji, shoring up the defence. Like, yeah. Is he vindicated by the team change, even though he got the loss?
No, I don't think so, because A, you had to win that game to be vindicated, and also, I don't think dropping Marshall was the right thing. I think that Marshall still offers that team enough to warrant his spot. I know he went through the whole COVID thing, but with kissing the reporter or whatever it was, but he was dropped before that. I'm not a huge Josh Reynolds man. You and I have talked about this before. I thought he was decent for them in what was a trying week for him. I don't mind him at hooker or off the bench. I really wouldn't play him as a playmaker half. And I just thought it was pretty disrespectful to Benji, considering I didn't think he was the problem with the Tigers.
Yeah. I think, well, his issues are defensively. Like, we've seen his attack. Like, he's so pivotal for the attack. But I don't know. Like, you look at the defensive, like, just having a look at some of the defensive numbers, Schnaz, like, the defense was pretty good. Like, Twall had 62 tackles, one missed tackle. Harry Grant made 52. Like, you've got some big numbers there. They didn't really concede too many line breaks by the look of it. Two line breaks. Like, they gave up, you know, two tries, two line breaks. Like, you've got to be happy with the performance from Madge.
Yeah.
Like, you know, rallying it back. But, scaling back the defense. But it's just, I don't know. I don't think they're getting. Again, they've got some, they're like the Titans, have some names, but they just don't have the next level names to get them. I think get them success, but I think the defense, that's where Madge is going, all right, if we shore up this defense, the defense will be able to get us home. Like, if we score two more tries, we get 16-14.
I quite like the forward pack they've got, and a lot of them are no-name guys, but I think that they're doing a job for them. I think they're a team that realistically probably are not finals bound, but if they go on to a run of three or four wins, then maybe they can turn that around. But They're not a team I really fear, but on their day, they can do things. For me, they're like, the obvious joke is ninth place, but they're 9 to 12 kind of team, and if they jag a few, maybe they can come eighth, but I just don't think Marshall, even with his defensive issues, I don't think he was the reason they were losing.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that one goes. But physical game, woo.
Yeah. Well, there's a few things from the Raiders that I noticed. So that was the – so I thought you knew the stat, but so Raiders, fourth time conceding only 6 points in a game this year. That's
Yes.
Pretty impressive. Yes. Like, you know, that's going to get you the wins. But also, too, Shaz, a couple of other interesting tidbits. So, Ricky's 400th game as coach. Did you see him celebrate with a Great Northern can at the end of the game?
I did, but I would suggest to you he celebrates every win and every loss in the same way. So,
so maybe it was his 400th tinny as well for the season, but... No, I because as someone who celebrated by drinking a beer out of a shoe,
yeah.
I figured, like, I thought you could rank the celebration. Like, there was a little bit left in the can afterwards, which he poured on his head.
No, it was good. It was an 8 out of 10 celebration. He gave it a good shake, absolutely.
And we also saw at the end of the game on Matty Johns, I think it was. Was it Matty Johns?
Sure.
No, it was, it wasn't, oh, wait, was it? I can't remember.
It was Saturday night.
It was Super Saturday, of course. They all blend into one for me, Schnaz.
They do.
We saw one of the hottest players in the league as well, Jack White.
Yeah.
I think he copped a Joey Leilua hip on a tackle, which made him look like the Terminator. What do you think? He still looked like you could see he's still quite an attractive man. I think the ladies would have loved that, that look that Jack was going for.
Well, look, I am someone who quite publicly has stated that I, you know, have no problem saying that another man is handsome. I've got no problem with that. I've said it many times on this podcast, on numerous podcasts. And particularly when it comes to footballers. I mean, Blake Braley, that's a good-looking kid, you know. But
it has got you into trouble with HR in the workplace a couple of times. But still, you telling it how it is, Shaz. That's all good.
When Cooper Cronk signed on, they knew what was going to happen.
I think you got a warning just at the ready. just waiting, like Mona had the document ready to sign. Just like, yeah, I'm ready to go. Has he done it yet? No, that's what I know.
We've signed Kronk. Here's warning number one. What I was going to say was Jack Whiten does not do it for me, but I say that with great respect as someone who is not a good-looking man. I say, Jack Whiten, good luck to you, but not for me, no.
Yeah, well, I was thinking about it too, Schnaz, like seeing his beautiful blue eye and then his bloodshot red eye.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, could we see round six, the first eye patch in NRL history?
I really hope we do. I really hope we do.
Like, you could put a sponsor on it, like, because obviously he's not looking out of that eye. Like, yeah, I know how peripherals are so important in sport, let alone rugby league, but I think there's an opportunity here for the Raiders.
Well, I mean,
Raiders, Pirates, you know, you get my drift. Like, this could be something that a marketing, a stroke of marketing. Not only have the masks for COVID, but the eye patch for Jack, Captain Jack.
Could we have? What do you think, Shaz? Could he play in the mask and the eye patch? That'd be great.
Sorry.
I've lost my train of thought, believe it or not. All I keep thinking of is when Kramer wears the eye patch and he goes to shake. Is it? Now I'm testing my memory here. It's the guy with the wig, right? Is that him?
John Lovitz. Yeah, good for you, Jack.
Yeah, he goes to shake his hand and he completely misses it because he's looking out the wrong side of his... Yeah. What I was going to say was, sorry, there are some guys that can only pass with one, you know, pass one side of their body. Well, Jack will go out and play. He just won't be able to see out of one side of his body.
Yeah. No, that's... I think that's it. Like, you know, if his eye gets itchy, he can move it over the other eye like Kramer. It was Gary Fogle, Shaz.
Yeah, okay.
Jack. Yeah, I think, look, yeah, good for you, Jack. It sort of works, doesn't it? But, yeah, I think there's a massive opportunity here for the NRL. We're going global. Let's bring out the eye patch, you know, and it'll protect the eye from little bumps and hips and pokes and stuff, you know. Something they could have brought in when Gal was playing, Schnaz.
Maybe that your opposition has to have the eye patch on the same eye or the opposite eye of you, so you're both looking at each other with the same kind of physical limitations.
I'd love to see goal kickers bring out the eye patch for the shots on the sideline. You know, I mean, like just
someone close to my heart, Sean Johnson. You watch when he takes that kick and he does a little eye. He waves his eye around and then he, you know.
There's some great, like we've seen in the past, we've seen Wishy with the shaky legs. Mm. We've seen Ian Heron turn his back on the goals. We've seen Sean Timmins miss one from in front to win the game. Like, what have been, like, you got Mitchell Moses doing the Chubbs Peterson, it's all on the hips with his goal kicking. What else, like, who's been your favourite goal kicking? Kicker of... of yesteryear or current.
Boy, oh boy. I do, I will say this even when he was the Warriors, I do love the Sean Johnson look the post up and down like he's checking out someone at a nightclub and then he puts the head down and then has a little smile then kicks it. Who was my favourite? I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. There's been a lot. But
I didn't mind the Piggy Riddell. It's going over.
Yeah, he was a character. Yeah. He's a pretty good kicker. Nah,
there's been some good ones. I think I rattled off the top five there, just quickly trying to get to the question. But anyway, so yeah, we spoke about Isaac. Oh no, we haven't spoken about Isaac Luke, but let's talk about it now. A few transfers this week. Two for the Sharkies, one for the Broncos. So you got Bryson Goodwin and Nene McDonald. Nene McDonald. And Isaac Luke going to the Broncos. Schnaz, what did you think of your boys signing
Nene and
Bryson?
I think it's a good move because their outside backs aren't going too well at the moment and Ronaldo's out for about 4 or 5 weeks. I think that McDonald...
Did you receive a red card last week?
Yeah, thank you. I think that... McDonald.
You just got it.
I'm rattled. McDonald will be a long term first grader for us, I think. I think it'll be him and Ronaldo on the wings. So that's something to look forward to. He's competent. He's a big body. He's got a bit of speed. Goodwin is a Sharks junior. He's come back home. He's a lot older than Nene, and I think I actually think he'll play this weekend. He's been named on an extended bench, so he can also play in the centres as well as the wing. Again, he's not going to set the world on fire, but I think he brings a lot of experience, which they don't have at the moment. And I don't mind the signings. I imagine that Bryson is on nothing and Nene is on something pretty honest, so I'm cool with that. Isaac Luke's a bit of a mystery to me.
How about that, Schnaz? Yeah. Like, you let go of Andrew McCulloch, and then 2 weeks later, I think Seibold came out and went, oh, yeah, sometimes you make the wrong decisions. But, like, it sounded like McCulloch wanted game time elsewhere. He saw the situation with Turpin play out, being the number nine for the future, and he was like, look, I still got a lot to give. The Knights sort of came knocking when Jaden did his knee.
Yeah.
They sign off on it, and then just over a week later, Turpin has a break in his leg. So I think Seibold could have just said, cool your jet, Starsky, you know, like just, you know, let us see how it goes. Like you're not necessarily demoted for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think he could have held pat there with Andrew McCulloch and just wrote it out. Like he is a legend of the club, 250 gamer.
And he's still getting Isaac Luke. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Isaac Luke has been a great player. He sort of reminds me of, I was talking about this guy the other day to someone, former Dragon, former Shark, Jeremy Smith, Kiwi international. One of those great grinding players that will go down in history as, you know, a well-regarded player. And Isaac Luke for me is like that. Really crafty, great player. But he is getting a little bit older in the game that they're playing. And I'm just surprised at the amount of movement he's made in the last year or two. And I think it was for family reasons as well that he wanted to move up there. But it's surprising because, I mean, is the fellow that's gone to Newcastle, is that a one-year deal or is it longer? Because I thought he was going back.
Supposedly he has like I heard from Pete Bedell, that there is an option for him to come back to the Broncos after this year.
So he has the choice.
It's a weird situation. And this is the thing with the Broncos. Like, we're seeing these... So we saw Ben Teo last week. We've seen we saw McCulloch leave 2 weeks ago. So Ben Teo signed this week. They've already got quite a few, like, edge forwards. He was to bring experience, which McCulloch had.
Yeah.
Then you see Luke sign. But then you're hearing stories like Xavier Coates is being... There's interest from Melbourne. Tom Dearden, there's interest for him. There's Herbie Farnworth. Like, these young guys, they're really struggling to keep juniors in the club. Like, they've given an opportunity to a lot over the last few years. But they're sort of going, oh, we need to bring in experience. But it could, like, simultaneously lose some of those good juniors that they've brought through. Like, they've chopped and changed with Corey Oates, like, had him on the wing. Then they brought him in the second row. Now they've taken him out. I'm concerned for the Broncos. I don't know, like, Seibold seems like he had a plan coming in. Like, there's the chat about Dearden, right? Like, he said he's there long-term. Then he brings Croft in. Like, there's all these little things that don't make sense to me. And I think the Broncos, you know, with the injuries to Fifita, to Turpin, the Stags that have come along the way, we've got the Pang guys just getting back from the suspension from earlier this year. Like, it's just, it's been an absolute, like, shit fight, for lack of better words, for the first five games of the season for him.
I think Seibold... And I've never met the guy. I've never studied the man. But I think he's the sort of fellow that he was at South Sydney, which is a pretty big club, you know, supporter base wise, legendary wise. But you know, it's not the Brisbane Broncos when it comes to professionalism. I know they've come leaps and bounds ahead, and they're probably top five in professionalism. But they're not the Brisbane Broncos. And I feel like he's gone back home to Brisbane and probably thought, I'm going to run this ship like I ran it down there. And I don't know, like, you know, they're bored and they're former greats and the what's the club of millionaires? What are they called, Brooksy? The
millionaire club?
No, there's the name for them. But anyway, the ponies or something.
Oh yeah, right. I
just think that it's a different audience he's got, and it's not really working, and it looks like he's making a rash decision every week. And you know, it probably started with signing Brodie Croft, who Melbourne were pretty okay to let go of.
Yeah.
And,
He's used 25 players in the first five rounds, Shanaz.
Yeah, that's, like, crazy.
You start with 17, but they've, you know, through injuries, through suspensions, they've added another 8 to that round one team. I think they need some sort of stability there. I'm sure it's not doing the players a world of confidence, like going through, like, you know, different squads, like bringing guys in, moving them positionally. You know, yeah, there's been injuries and suspensions. We've said that. But, yeah, he needs to, once they all come back, he needs to stick with it and let them develop. Because, yeah, they've got some young captains in Croft and Carrigan as well. So, and he chose that at the start of the year.
Is Croft a captain?
Yep.
Wow.
Okay. So... That's the concern with them. I hope they can bounce back for the sake of Broncos fans and the game. You know, it's always good having the Broncos being competitive, and we can give it to them. But yeah, like what we've seen the last few weeks, they looked good in the first half against Manly. They gave up that lead. They went down 59-0 to the Roosters 2 weeks ago. It's hopefully they can bounce back. Mate.
I tell you who's hoping they bounce back is. Our friendly foes at Channel 9. Jeez.
Yeah, they've got... And they're opening the round, Schnatz. Round 6 against the Newcastle Knights. The Andrew McCulloch revenge game.
Oh, I like that. I like the Knights. I like the Knights in this one.
Yeah, Tevita Pangai's back for the Broncos. He's a Newcastle junior, so it's a bit of spiciness both from both teams at end of the competition in 1988. It's always a good one.
Ooh, there you go.
So yeah, that's one of the games to look forward to. Roosters Eels, as we mentioned, whoa,
that'd be good. Yeah,
so much to go there. We've talked about the former Roosters and the Eels. We've got Teddy and Moses, the former Tigers. Oh, Tigers fans watching this one's just going to be like, oh my God, we've got Adam Dewey and Luke Brooks.
What about...
But, you know, they could have the...
Yeah.
They've got two... Adam Dewey was really good last week.
No, it's not about
it's
those
just
guys.
More...
Yeah.
But it's...
Do you remember that infamous day, especially at Fox Sports Stats, when Teddy agreed to go to the Raiders? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
That caused a few ruffles.
Yeah. What a sliding doors moment that could have been.
Oh, boy. So the Raiders fans probably feel the same way every time they see Teddy light it up, man.
Yeah, that like the grand final.
Like the grand final.
But, yeah, it's going to be good. Do you reckon how do you see this one, Schnaz? The Roosters keep crowing or the Eels go 6-0?
Oh, man, it's a tough one. The Roosters have got a short turnaround.
Yeah.
But you would have to lean towards the Roosters because they love big games and they just have that star power. But the Eels have done nothing wrong. They're 6-0.
Yeah.
They're going about their business. Their defense is pretty good. They came back from 10-0 down last week. I really don't know. I'm going to say Roosters, but, you know, it would not surprise me to see the Eels jag it by 1 or 2 points. Like, it'll be tight, I think. I think it'll be tight. I hope it will be.
I think it's going to Golden Point.
Yeah, right.
I just, like, I can't definitively say a team's going to win.
Yeah.
You know, I punched it into my predictor in my head.
Yeah.
And this one's going over 80 minutes for me. Thinking JWH comes back, Jared Warrior Hargraves comes back. He didn't even play in that Bulldogs game, Schnaz.
Yeah.
So we're going to have an awesome forwards battle. We're going to have a great halves battle. Outside backs, there's try-scoring punch all over those two back lines. I think it's going to either come down to Moses v. Flanagan kicking goals or a field goal. In this one, mate, I think we're in for the an absolute classic.
I will say this as a rugby league fan: I hope that the Eels can live up to the hype this week, and I think they can. I think they're in for a really special year. But when you have sometimes you have these clashes, and there's going to be a lot of spotlight on both teams. I think the Roosters can live up to it. They've been doing it for 3 years now in a row; like they're fine, but. For the Eels, this is getting into slightly uncharted waters, and they've got a big fan base and a lot of hype behind them, and I hope they live up to it. I think they will, and I think they're a different team from last year. Last year, they might have bowed down a little bit, but I think they'll be able to prove a point. So it should be a classic, man. Should be great.
Yeah, we've got some interesting ones. We've got Panthers Storm. We've got Tigers Cowboys. We've got Raiders Seagulls. But the two that we're interested in as... respective fans. Titans Dragons to start Super Saturday.
Classic.
I think the Dragons go 2-0. Not 2-0. You go, damn, we're not 2-0. We go
2-0
2-4. 2-4. Two straight wins for the Dragons. Yeah. If not, we'll need to do an emergency podcast after that one.
If not, Sack Mary.
Sack Mary. And your boys up against the Bulldogs.
Another classic.
That's a classic. That is, if anything, the one. That's the way you finish a round off.
I mean, the Sharkies love nothing more than facing a team that just got beaten by 42 points. They've shown before that, you know, they'll treat them with great respect and come out firing.
I'll tell you what, the Canadian Boffins have done an amazing job with the draw this round, Schnaz. We have 13-15 and 14-16. All four teams have one win. And there's going to be two fan bases that are going to be happy.
Yeah.
And there's going to be two fan bases that won't be so happy. So,
yeah.
Look, the spoon round robin begins this week. Titans, Dragons, Sharks, Bulldogs. So, yeah, something to look forward to. But, yeah, obviously, Para Roosters, the pick of the bunch. It's going to be a fun one. Yeah, 7:30 Saturday night.
I mean, you mentioned a few other games that have now got me pretty interested. Penrith Storm, I think, is going to be sneaky good.
3v5. That's a good one.
And who did you have Manly playing? Canberra.
Yeah, that's always been a tasty battle.
Well, I mean, they're two good teams.
A few injuries for Manly. Marty Tapau, Sully, fingers.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's the rugby league gods getting back at John Hopewadi with Tapau and Sully with finger injuries. But
yeah,
that's at Campbelltown. So the Seagulls, who are based at pretty much Blacktown now,
well,
with their reserve grade team, that's a home away home game for the Seagulls. So the Raiders got to go up the Hume again. So maybe an upset there, but. I'm picking Raiders. I'm picking the green machine to go 5-1 this week.
Yeah, okay. Should be a good one. Where is the Penrith? Where is the Penrith game at?
Campbelltown. We've got three games at Campbelltown. We've got three games at Bankwest. Western Sydney. Go to the grounds outside. Keep your distance. 1.5 to 2 meters. I think we're doing well as a nation. Just go out there. Did you see some of the Dragons fans? The GST sign was outside Campbelltown on Sunday.
How could I have missed that, you know?
And I think the Dragons guy, the go, 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 go guy was one of the 50 that got in there because you can hear it from time to time. Unless he was at West Leagues Club watching the game.
Yeah.
Sitting on a jewel of the Nile.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Man, who knows?
Yeah.
But anyway, big week this week. This is... And it's Benny's for Brain Cancer Round, Schnatz.
Excellent. Excellent.
I know you love a bit of headwear.
I do.
I've seen you. I like the female beanie this year looks really good, Schnatz. I think it would look good on you. It'll look good on me.
It's a leopard print, is that right?
Yeah, it's leopard, yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. And it'll be keep you warm in those cold nights down in the Shire.
Oh, they get cold, baby.
Southerlies.
I have seen them available at my local IGA, and yeah. I think it's one of the definitely negatives about, you know, not being able to go out to games in the numbers that we are used to is the fact that they will lose some sales on the beanies, which is obviously for a fantastic cause. So. We definitely urge you to seek them out. You can buy them from IGA, I think, maybe other retailers, and they definitely can be bought from the Mark Hughes Foundation website. So if you click on there, it's pretty easy to do. You're supporting good cause, and we definitely encourage you to do that. But they are at the local IGA, I can tell you that.
Yeah, the website's beanie.markhughesfoundation.com.au.
Yep.
And, yes, get on there. Buy a beanie.
Yeah.
Buy one for a loved one.
Yeah, they're really good beanies too, every year.
Yeah. I've got a couple from the last few years and they cover up this ugly mug very nicely.
Nah, you're a good-looking guy, Rosie. Don't care,
Come on, you know, I barely get the ears in. They need to get some bigger beanies.
I've seen some ears in my time and I think you're okay. I know it's like your downfall, and I don't want to get too personal on this podcast, but they're nowhere near what you think they are, and they're part of you.
And they are. They're part of me. They're part like. Anyway, no, you know who's got a big set of ears. I Adam Driver, the actor, he hides them though.
Yeah, he does. He does.
I was watching this movie. He had Lisa, mum. Come stay with me last week. She made a trip up from the Jamboree where you control the action.
Yeah.
And we're watching a Bateman movie that had Adam Driver and Tina Fey in it.
Oh, the one about the school.
Since I Left You or something.
Oh, they're all siblings, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah,
great movie. Adam Driver. Yeah.
You got a pair?
But he hides them. He's ashamed of them. So... Everyone get on Adam Driver's social media accounts and add him.
He hides it with his hair, or what are you saying?
Yeah, he has the little, like, bob, like the little, like the Keanu Reeves sort of looking haircut.
Well, that's what you need to do. You need to get on that.
He needs to get him out.
I'm not saying you need to, but if you have an issue, then you need to do the Adam Driver.
Oh, yeah. But I don't know if it's good. Like, he was in the military, right?
And, yeah.
Who knows? It could stem from those days where, like, mate, Lieutenant Driver, tuck those ears in. You might get him caught on a tripwire, like Bubba with his lip. I don't know. But Adam, if you're listening somehow, I don't know. You're probably working on a movie. He was great in Black Klansman. He's a great actor. I'm just looking at his Wikipedia right now, Schnaz. He's working on a couple of movies, a Ridley Scott film called The Last Duel.
Okay.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Based on the book The Last Duel, the true story of trial by combat in medieval France. It's a screenplay written by Ben Affleck and Matt Damon. They're back.
Never heard of them.
So that should be good. Damon's in that one. And Annette, he plays Henry McHenry.
I
don't know about that name.
Where does Good Will Hunting sit in your favourite films of all time? Is it in your top 10, top 20?
Nah.
Really?
Yeah, too serious.
Let me ask you this question again.
Yeah.
IMDb, whatever, what are you rating it out of 10?
8.
That's pretty good. That's okay.
Yeah.
So you recognize it's a great film, it's just not one of your favorites.
But look, I gave The Naked Gun 9, so...
You're a flying high guy, I get it.
Anything just no shame with, in anything that. With Leslie Nielsen starts at 9.
That's like, fine. I agree.
Yeah. Like, he's just one of the best comedic actors of all time. And we all know, like, there's a lot going on with comedy at the moment, Schnaz.
There is.
John Cleese is losing shows as we speak. Chris Lilley has lost his back catalogue. Little Britain's gone.
It's interesting.
Some comedians are losing their stand-ups.
I don't know how
it's
I feel about
it.
A
tough time to be a comedian these days.
I don't know how I feel about it, to be honest. There's right and wrongs in all of it. It's a tough one. But I was just going to say, like, when I think of Ben Affleck and his little mate, I think of that film, and I think it's a really, really, really good film, man. Really good.
So I didn't mind The Town with Ben Affleck. Liked Argo. The Bournes, I liked when they split up. Not so much together.
I like them together.
A bit chummy and a bit like I don't know.
I like them together. I like that whole Boston thing and
Robin, the late Robin Williams was great in it.
Just as a script, it's remarkable. It's shot really well. They wrote and directed it, and I just thought these two guys know what's going on. And you know, they've both made interesting calls about films every now and then. But that's Hollywood, right? You take the box, you do the big film. It's no good. But yeah,
Good Will Hunting. We've all got like Little Nicky and Don't Mess with the Zohan at the bottom of our IMDb pages. we can't pick them all.
What is your favorite film of all time?
Flying. Oh God, are you serious? It keeps changing.
Historically speaking, what's your favorite film of all time?
Yeah, but it's hard. Like it. I think it depends on the mood. It depends on how I'm feeling.
You always bang on about that Peter Sellers film.
The Pink Panther? The Party?
The Party.
I don't know. There's so many. The Party's pretty good. That's possibly one that could be off shelves pretty quickly because he does play a East Indian in that. But I don't know. It's a tough one. God, you've got me there. There's just so many. I don't have a distinctive favorite. Leslie Nielsen movies. There's plenty of Jim Carrey. There's How Good Swingers. Swingers. Love the Guy Ritchie movies. You know, I'm not the sort of person. I love a laugh. The serious ones don't really get me. I like a few Tarantino movies. It's a tough one, Schnaz. You'll have to get back to me on that one.
Okay.
But is there anything album-wise movies, TV shows that you've seen over the last week that have tickled your fancy, that some of the listeners who have stayed on this long, thank you very much.
Hey, we're still weeks shorter than last week's episode, so we're doing all right.
I think that episode's still going, Schnaz.
TV, I watched the remaining episodes of the show I last talked about with you called Run, and I think it's really good. You should watch it.
Run.
It's on the Foxtel. It's short episodes. I do recommend that. So far, so good.
Yeah.
Musically, oh, gosh. Gosh, gosh, gosh. Music, nothing really new. Actually, the band called the Drive-By Truckers, who have the greatest band name of all time, Drive-By Truckers, they've got a new album out. That's really good. The new Jason Isbell record's really good. He's very critically acclaimed. And movies, I haven't really watched any movies for a while, but I'd like to if anyone has any suggestions.
Hey, Schnaz, just what is critically acclaimed? So, you see it so much. It's like, so someone's sitting there, like critiquing, going, ooh, this is good.
Yeah, yeah. So
people that don't normally say things are good say it's good. So in other words, critically acclaimed?
Well, no, I guess the term means, so when I said to you, Jason Isbell, I expect you'd heard of him, but you may not have heard his music.
Yeah.
Because he's a pretty big artist, but he's not a household name. But the critics love him. He's reviewed really well. Songwriters want to be him. They love him. They talk about him. So he's
critically... Women want to be with him.
Well, yeah.
I love that line. Men want to be him, women want to be with him.
It's so true, though, right? It's so true, especially looking at, I don't know, stars, TV stars, movie stars. It's
John
true.
Mayer?
Well,
like early 2000s John Mayer. I don't want to be him now.
I mean, the girls did love him, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what critically acclaimed means. It means that like an album doesn't sell necessarily. Let me give you a very... example close to home. None of my albums have been huge sellers. Some have done better than others, but obviously I'm not rolling in millions of dollars made from albums, but they've been critically acclaimed. So someone would go, that guy Schnaz, great songwriter. Man, I read a review in the Sydney Morning Herald, amazing. And then someone will go, who the hell are you talking about? Because, you know, I'm not well known. So critically acclaimed means that kind of stuff.
Yeah, right.
This podcast is critically acclaimed, but... You know.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, we'll see. What, the three reviews we've got on iTunes. Actually, if you got this far, give us a review. We might start reading them out, Schnaz.
We've had a few, which is good. We've had a few. I think that we're so critically acclaimed that Fox Sports actually named one of their best ever rating shows after our podcast. I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, and then, I think let's go with it. If people write a review, we'll read them out.
Yeah, good, bad, or indifferent, we'll read them out. So write a review.
Critically acclaim us.
Their episodes are way too long.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll read it out.
Yeah, let's start reading them out.
They talk about two rugby league teams only. We'll read it out. No problem.
Yeah. What is this plane? And where is the Badgerys Creek?
What is a Valandis?
I think it's some club in Potts Point. Anyway.
Yeah. Sounds good.
But Schnaz, I watched a couple of shows. I finished the season of Billions. Half season finale.
Yeah.
So good, man. It's one of my favorite shows that's at the moment.
The guy from Homeland's in it, right?
Yes, Damian Lewis.
What about that?
He plays Barbie Axelrod of Axe Capital. That's a terrible accent. But yeah, there's some great acting in it. There's some awesome cameos, good references. It's, it's such a... It's just that living the fast life in New York.
Yeah.
Good watch. I think you would enjoy it.
Yeah.
I know you've seen a couple of episodes, haven't you?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. But it was a good little finish. And then, on Stan, they sort of, you've watched this show. Yep. You know what else is starting back in a couple of weeks? Yellowstone. So I started watching that. Right. Kevin Costner.
Right.
He has a ranch in the Yellowstone, South Dakota sort of region of the United States.
Yeah.
But it was sold to me in the credits. It was very smart. They were like, it's Billions on a ranch. And I was like, I just watched Billions.
I like ranches.
Billions on a ranch. Why don't I give it a go? Yeah.
And it's good.
Did you say branches or?
And it's good.
Yeah, it's got a bit of, I've talked about the show Banshee before.
Yeah.
It's got a bit of that vibe. It's like the battle of land and cattle and all the intricacies around a ranch. It's got the Native American themes in it as well. So, look, if you like Banshee, you're going to love Yellowstone. And if you like Billions, this is Billions on a ranch. So how can you lose? But, been looking forward to seeing the latest 30 for 30 as well, Shaz. It's based on Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa, the 1996, I think, MLB season. God, I know it's 96 or 97.
98, I want to say.
98? God,
I think so,
Yeah, obviously the McGwire season where he hit 70 home runs, which has been deleted from archives, and Sammy Sosa got 66. I think another one that's been deleted. So we've gone back to Roger Maris as being the record. But, yeah, it's going to be an intriguing watch. And I haven't watched it yet. And if you have watched it, let us know if it's worth watching.
I'm looking forward to it. I will watch it during the week too. We can catch up on it.
Beautiful. And there will be a new episode of Unpacked on KO with this up-and-coming voiceover artist. So, yeah, if you missed everything that happened in the world of sport, with AFL's back, are there sex dolls still going on in the K-League? You'll find out on Unpacked this week. It comes out either tomorrow or Thursday, so stay tuned.
Now, it's funny you talk about KO because some of my work now involves giving KO a bunch of highlights, which you probably do the voiceovers for. So there's a quite strong League Life podcast vibe running through the KO office all of a sudden.
Yeah, well, Schnaz, your information is just, giving us or giving the company content, which is great. Well, and you just keep it up, mate. Keep sending through that gold.
What I love, though, is that your dulcet tones made the on-air show and I didn't. I'm just providing the content. I mean, that's very...
I know.
It's a bitter swill, bitter pill. It's a walking up a hill. It's everything. It's really tough on me, man. I'm super happy for you, but you know.
Yeah, it's all right. You'll get your day. You got your podcast. You got 19 podcasts going.
Maybe I need 21 and they might give me a shot.
Hey, I might do. How about I do a little closer for the podcast after our little sign off?
All right. Well, I will
see if it works. You can edit it out.
No, let's do it now. So thanks for listening. This has been The League Life with Brooksy and Shanaz. I'm Shanaz. That's Brooksy. He's the winner. I'm the loser. And.
Follow us on social media. At League Life NRL on the Weibo, MySpace, Facebook, TikTok. Where else are we, Shanaz?
Instagram.
Instas.
Twitter.
I'm sure there's another one. What was the other one?
Facebook.
YouTubes. Napster. and the other one.
Vimo.
MSN Messenger. ASL, Schnaz. It's ASL. Remember that? Rolf.
Oh, boy. I sure do.
Anyway,
we'll say goodbye. We'll say goodbye and you can...
Round six coming up.
You can leave us with some KO stuff, all right? So, or some voiceovers at least. So I'll see you later.
Marcus, bye for now, Schnaz. Oh, Marcus, bye for now, Schnaz.
That's a great start to your voiceover career.
This has been a Shanazzy Brooks production. Hey, so if you've made the end of this podcast, here's some outtakes from Shanaz's intros.
Hey there, welcome to the League Life. I don't think we're in lockdown. You're with Brooksy and Shanaz. I'm Shanaz. I'm going to do this intro again. Hey there, welcome to the League Life with Brooksy and Shanaz. I'm Shanaz. I'm here with Brooksy. Brooksy's been waiting 400,000 years to do this podcast. I've tried to get out of it. I'm going to start it again. Okay, this is it.
Could you gotta put this at the end of the podcast.
Alright, I'll save it.